This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Before the program starts, it's an advertisement time. Ding! It's only a couple of things which I want to bring our attention to. And the one is actually that as from last Sunday, we went live. So we have to be careful, can't erase what we said on Sunday. So careful, if you jump up, it will see you on TV. No. Now, I think it's an amazing tool to get the gospel out there. So as we speak, we are live out there. It doesn't mean you should stay at home and watch the service at home. Please. I'm going to build in a system there that's recording who's watching that. And if you're in Swakopmund, we track you. Nowadays, they track you with GPS and everything. Share my location. We'll share your location and say, you must come to church, can't sit at home. But I think it's an amazing tool just to get the gospel out there for those places and areas where people do not have the privilege of having a church. And having a discussion the other day about, you know, the beauty of having a family. You know, so many people in smaller places, which are known to us in Namibia, a lot of them, that they would love to have but that spiritual family, sometimes what we have, and then they don't have that privilege. They're one or two, and God is there. I mean, God moves. But obviously, because they're smaller, they're limited to certain, I don't want to say experiences, but things that they're exposed to. And God plants us in different places. But what I'm trying to say here, we've got a great family, great people. Enjoy the moments in God's presence. Do not stay away from that. You know what? There's no better place. Not at the beach this morning, okay? I know the weather is like that, but you can do the beach thing after church, okay? Just an hour and a half. Give God that, and it will change your week forever. I've been privileged. We've been in South Africa recently. We went for our yearly summit and having meetings there, and it was one of those moments when iron rubs iron. You know, before I was leaving here, I had still so much of the prophetic word of the previous season in my life, or specific word for me, and I was still working on that, contemplating on that, trying to get that into that, becoming part of my life, walking in obedience, that I knew if I go there, God, then I'm going to have so much more again, and then I'm still working on this. I'm almost like at the place where I sense, God, can I just put the pause button on there and just work on this still? But it doesn't work like that always, you know. God is just a good God that's just taking us forward. And even though I had that word, which continued to change me for the last year and is still busy changing me, but not just me, also us, I believe, in our pursuit to God, is that God gave me more. You come back and... But the fact of the matter is there's divine moments in the presence of God. Divine encounters where we sense the presence of God. As much as I sense that and experience that, as much as I receive the word there, which continued to carry me for more than a year now, is all of us can have such encounters. You know, in actual fact, God wants to give all of us this morning, before you leave out of this place, one thing, a word that you can carry with you for the next season. Now, here's the thing. Some of us already have that word. Sometimes we just kind of forget about that, or somewhere there's a lot of dust in that, and I'm just trusting God just to take us back to that moment. For some, it might be a fresh word. For some, it might not be. But there are divine encounters in our lives where we experience God in such a way that we know hey, God was there. This is a God moment, and I'm hearing His voice. And it's in those moments when we hear God's voice that we are left with an option. Am I going to go with that, or am I just going to sit here and wait for something else? For another train to come by, or for a word that suits me, and then I'll jump on the train, and then I'll take that one. Yeah, because sometimes we don't always like the word either, or it's challenging, or it's a question that God would ask us. And questions is not necessarily there for, because God do not know the answers. I've found that when God asks us questions, it's more so that I can find out the answer. Yeah, I mean, God knows everything. And that word that was for me, which I do apologize if I've shared this, shared it too many times. But the word that was changing me for the last years is the whole pursuit to God's presence. That it's all about God's presence, that we need to get people into that place. That it's not through my lips, which the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not through your lips, but it's through my presence that people will change. But you know, you sit and you hear that and you think, God, but it's not that we didn't experience your presence, but you realize that God is actually saying to you, it's time for an upgrade. You know, what you've experienced, the level of experience, that's fine, but it's a time for upgrade. It's time to climb up higher because there's a different aspect of God's presence on a different level that will take us to a different place, a different journey. You know, and when we have those encounters, those divine moments, those defining moments, we are faced with almost with a decision of life and death, almost with a decision of going this way or that way. And likewise, if we look at the book of the Exodus with the Israelites, it's a similar situation. That our decision or our response to that decision will not just only determine where we will go, it will determine our timing in life, in that season, in that cycle, or in that direction you're going, but it will also determine the who that will be going with us. After this word, I was just digging into this whole thing about the presence of God, and I think we are still in a journey in many ways in terms of pursuing that deeper place of presence. That's why I'm a bit, how shall I say, not non-negotiable. Sometimes I'm just, guys, we have to get in prayer. Guys, we have to get in prayer. Why? And I'm sometimes a bit hard on people on that, but I know it's starting there. It's starting in prayer. It's when we cry out to God, when we get to that place, when we humble ourselves. And in many ways, we've made some progress, but I do believe that there's still a lot of progress that we can make in our pursuit to God, in our presence, in pursuing Him through prayer. And one of them is when we pray corporately, that God would take us to that place. So I really would encourage you that you become part of somebody, of some of the corporate prayer events that we have here at church, for that sake, so that we can together share in that moment when God comes through. And sometimes it takes a while for us to cry out, to break through in prayer before God just pours out a great amount of His presence. Because defining moments requires appropriate responses. Defining moments require appropriate responses. And defining moments require urgent responses sometimes. Can God trust you? I'll get back to that. I was reading scripture, the whole thing about Israel and their journey from Egypt to where they eventually ended up in the promised land. Maybe you've read that story so many times. You know, in reading scripture, you're just trusting God for something fresh to come out of it. But their whole journey has been some type of type for us as church to pursue God's presence, to respond to the God encounters, to react to those moments when God is present. I mean, after all, think about that. The 10 plagues, when they were there, all of that which happened, 10 days or of show off, almost in a way. 10 days when God just came and showed off in a way. Say, hey, listen, I am God. They saw all of that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we stand on this side and we think, oh, I would have believed if I saw all this. But unfortunately, the story is not like that. You know, they were all human beings like us, and they saw the 10 days, the 10 spectacular, or 10 days, 10 plagues. They saw all of that. Then eventually, they leave Egypt. 3 days later, after, now just bear in mind, this is just fresh. The testimony is just 3 days old. They reach the Red Sea, and now they're with the walls against the back, or the back against the wall, almost in a way, against the sea. The enemy is on the other side. They've just seen how God came through miraculously, and they start panicking. Oh, God, you must help us. And they're shouting at Moses, and they're angry at Moses. Why did you bring us here, to lead us here, to kill us here in the desert? And Moses is like, keep quiet, man. Don't complain. Just stand and see the salvation of God that will come through for you. And miracle happened. We know the story, the Red Sea parts. Oh. So they walk through. God is great. I'll read this bit of that prayer that Moses had after that. But you would think by now they would have learned the lesson. A few days down the line, they're at Marah, thirsty, and then they start complaining. And I believe scripture says some fire came and barbecued there in the desert. I don't know about some of them. They might have been angry at God. They might have been angry at Moses. Surely there were people of them that were involved in that. Again, God moment. Miriam and Aaron starts complaining about the leadership. And they made certain suggestions, certain things which they didn't say out there, but they said to them and to the people here, and they said, we could do the same as you do, Moses. Why did God put you over us? Again, not recognizing the authority there, the way God is doing that, then a boom. Miriam, leprosy. Get kryfio. But here's the thing. It does seem to me that for some or another reason, God's got a thing with complaining. I don't know about you, but I see that in that journey, that there's something about us complaining that's getting God's attention, but maybe not necessarily in a good way, that God wants to teach us something there. Sometimes we lose track of life and what life is really supposed to be and what we have. And they've lost that. They've seen God's hand miraculously. They've seen God coming through, yet they complain, yet they, oh no, did you bring us down here? Another time, and I think this was the last time in Kadesh Barnea, when they're about to enter the promised land, the story of the 12 spies. You've probably heard that story many times. So they send them in, come back. We know 10 of them came back with a bad report and 2 of them had a good report. The amazing thing is that 10 of them had the ability to influence 2 million people, almost. Amazing what we can do with our words and our attitude and the way we, that those 10 million people, their complaints or their inability to see God moving them into the promised land in his hand upon them, that which they had, they imparted to the rest of the group. And then God said, and the Bible says it was the 10th time they pushed grace that morning too far. So the Lord says, we know the story, to Moses, listen, tell them, go home, pack your stuff. We're not going in, we're just going around. Amazing thing that happened in the afternoon. So they went to bed, probably had a chat with the wife, some of them. Listen, I thought about what I said yesterday. I think we'll have to go back to Moses and tell him we're sorry about that. And that's exactly what they did. So the next morning they wake up. Listen, Moses, we need to talk about that, about what we said yesterday. Really sorry about what we said, but can we go in now? We thought about that. Actually, we're okay to go in. And the sad thing is, the Lord said, no, you've crossed that line. I don't know where grace ends. I don't know. I know it's abounding. I know it's far. I know it's overwhelming in many ways. But I do know that sometimes I can push it too far. I don't want to go there. I want to operate within the spheres of influence, within that moments of grace where God's grace is there, when his presence is there, and I want to respond appropriately to that. They didn't go into the promised land. They missed it forever. But I want to take us back a little bit earlier in the journey. When they were specifically at a specific place at Mount Sinai, that gives us some insight into their responding or them responding to God, that possibly could give us some hints this morning as we respond to those God encounters. In actual fact, there are 3 parties in the story that interact with God, and all 3 of them create some tension points for us when we engage with God. But let's just quickly read Exodus 19. If you've got your Bibles here, we can read that, Exodus 19, and we'll take it from there. Thank you, Jesus. So exactly 2 months after Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give this instruction to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You can underline brought you to myself, because I will come back to that as well. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples and on earth, for all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. Special word there. So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told him everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. Take note of that, what they said there. So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. then they will always trust you. They will always trust you. Mm. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Then the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. Mark off a boundary all around the mountain. Warn the people, be careful, do not go up on the mountain or even touch its boundaries. Anyone who touches the mountain will certainly be put to death. No hand may touch the person or animal that crosses the boundary. Instead, stone them or shoot them with arrows. You glad that there wasn't somebody that stood at the door this morning with stones and coming into the presence of God? But it's a lesson that we can discover here this morning. They must be put to death. However, when the ram's horn sounded a long blast, then the people may go up to the mountain. So Moses went down to the people. He consecrated them for worship and they washed their clothes. He told them, get ready for the third day, and until then, abstain from having sexual intercourse. Okay, we'll stop there. The age restriction of this movie is going up now. Okay, but not going into the detail there. Interesting thing about this is the whole pursuit to God, His greatness, realizing who are you, who do you have here in front of you. You know, the whole boundary thing. That's a sermon on its own. But one thing, we three parties which we find here, we've got Aaron and Moses, we've got Aaron and we've got the Israelites that were all engaging with God according to that invitation that they received. Now Moses, the first one I want us to look at, and just bear in mind, none of these people are perfect. They're only one that is perfect this morning. But the reason I'm looking at these people are they are human beings like us with their mistakes and with the good things as well, which they managed to pick up down the line and where God's character was formed inside of them. So we can identify. Beautiful thing about the Bible is they write about all the errors, that the mistakes that people were making as well, so that we can see, you know. And Moses, the story starts in Egypt. Moses had a bit of a temper. That's not humor, that he didn't. That was a temper problem, okay? For one moment, Moses had a few words there with the Egyptian, and then he sorted him out. And God said, listen, Moses, things can't work like this. Can't speak to the guys like this and do that. We'll have to take you, we'll have to talk. When you hear that from your wife, we have to talk, then you know. It's mulukait. God said to Moses, we have to talk. I have to take you to the back of the desert. And Moses flees Egypt. But somewhere at the back of the desert, something happens in Moses' life. And I want us to look at some of the prayers and the songs that Moses sang afterwards when they were entering, before they were entering into the promised land or on their pursuit, on their journey, after God came through for them miraculously, after some incidents that took place. Because Moses' heart reflects something this morning to us. Let's look at that first scripture, Exodus, I think, which one is it? 15. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord, glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders? You raised your right hand and the earth swallowed our enemies. Next one. With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home. Amazing. Moses is just, the way he prays, the way, I want to say, the song that he's singing is reflecting something about his awareness of the greatness of God. And in many ways, this whole story tells us something about that boundary. But the fact that Moses realized this is not just my buddy. This is God. I think sometimes in church circles, in our church circles, we can learn a little bit there. Jesus is not just your buddy. God is not your buddy. He's King. Some people put an overemphasis on the Father part. They forget the King part. Some don't know Him as the Father. You need to learn to get to know Him as the Father. But more than that, Moses prays another prayer, and I think that's, to me, astounding this morning. Exodus 32. This is after they messed up big time. The people messed up, and Moses prays this prayer. He says, but now if you will only forgive their sin, the 2 million people that were about to stone Him earlier, the people that were complaining, the people that were moaning, He was leading them out, and He prays this prayer after they messed up. But now if you will only forgive their sin, but if not, erase my name from the record you have written. But the Lord replied to Moses, No, I will raise the name of everyone who has sinned against me. What did Moses pray here? Lord, take my name out of the book of life for the sake of these people. I will be willing to stand in the gap for them and say, for all the nonsense that they did, take my name out of the book of life. I don't know if I'm ready to pray such a prayer. I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you love these people around you? And we're in a journey of pursuing love and trying to make sense of that deeper love of loving one another, that we can pray such kind of prayers. Paul was praying the same for the Jews. He said, Lord, I'm willing to go to hell so that they can be saved, for the sake of them. The bar is quite high there. That somewhere in the back of the desert, God has moved Moses' heart for his people in such a way that he was willing to stand in that gap when he encountered God. God removed my name instead of their name. But there's one specific incident this morning that's maybe showing us something more into Moses' heart. Exodus 33, verse 13. And it's going to create some tension in two areas. If it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways. You can underline that. So I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine. Moses is saying this to God. He said, God, the promised land is nothing without your presence. Can I say this to you? There's tension between the promised land and presence of God. Many times, we're so focused on the promised land. We're so hoping that we can just get to our promised land, to that word, so that things can just change. And Moses says, God, I know that comes from you. I know you're taking us there, but God, I'm not even interested in that if your presence doesn't accompany us. What Moses is trying to say, the prayer that Moses is praying here, illustrates to us this morning, there's tension between the hands of God and the face of God in our prayers. How many of our prayers are directed to the hands of God? God, just change this for me. God, just come through. God, just break through. God, just change this so that I can feel better. It's more comfortable. Instead of, God, I want to know you. And it challenged me in the way I engage with God. Because Moses said, God, your hands are not as important as your face to me. As a father, I know that. But I want to give good things to my children. It brings joy to me when I give. But it gives much more joy to me when they run to me, love me, cuddle, do all kinds of things, not because of what I've given them, but the fact that I'm their father. So much more the father in heaven. There's tension between these people. How many times our joy in life as Christians are based upon the promised land, are based upon the hands. God, what you've just done for me. And it's great God does that because he loves us. Sometimes I believe we pray that God would take away the circumstances or change that just so that we can have an easier time. God, just change this. Instead of, God, whatever. If you do not want to change that for now, that's fine. But take me on a journey where I can get to know you through these circumstances. I sense to say for some of you, sometimes God doesn't change your circumstances right now where you are. And you've been praying for God, and you've been asking God, God, why are you coming through? Why are you not changing this? God says, I want you to get to know me through this. We want to remove that sometimes. We want to remove that opposition, that obstacle that's maybe there in the way. Maybe if you take your eyes away from his hands and focus it upon his face, God is about to lead you to a new place of experiencing him. Aaron, amazing story about that, is that Aaron got the invite to the party as well. But Aaron responded differently. Aaron responded differently. My kids get these party invitations all the time. You know, so it's children's party here, children's party there. You've got three of them. I've been at one yesterday. And you go all around meeting new people, which is also nice, because when you enter into this new season of our lives where we hang around a lot of times around church people, we enter into school, and now we have a total different new world opening up for us, people that we do not know, and we engage with that. But so we have these parties that we attend, and yesterday, like I said, I had one amazing to get to know other people as well and see where they are at. But one thing is, Aaron and Moses got the same invitation, God. Both of them were supposed to be up on the mountain. God instructed Aaron, and Moses, can you climb up the mountain? Wait for me there, and I'll see you there. I'll speak to you people in such a way, specific way, and then everybody will, yeah. And but Aaron, for some other reason, after he got the invite in Exodus 32, we do not find him on the mountain. We find him in the crowd. Now, here's the thing. There's tension between the me and the crowd. There's tension between solitude and fellowship when we encounter God. What am I trying to say to you? God's presence is experienced in the me time, but God's presence is experienced in the now time here, where we come together as family. That's why not this one is right and that one is wrong, or other way. We need both of them. You can't just have God there in the home, you and him alone. You need this as well, because there's a certain amount of presence of God that's reserved for this. Other day, I shared this story. Now, I like watching sometimes an action movie. Pray for me if you think that's unbiblical, but I think there's a part of my man being, you know, just liking a bit of action there, and a few shots, and you know. But now I've got kids and girlies, and you know, it's different. If it was boys, it's a different thing. But with the girls, we are more sensitive to that. In actual fact, I'm opening up my Bible, the other Bible this morning, and it's just filled with love letters, you know. So that's the beauty of having girls again. They put these love letters in your Bible, how much they love you and how much they appreciate you. But anyway, so we protect our girls sometimes against some of these violent things. So we have this thing at home. We call it a skit flick. It's an action move or what? We all get that word, okay? I don't know, it's the English people that didn't understand what I was saying there. Skit flick, shooting movie. I don't know if that's the same. Anyway, so we either do not watch that when they awake, or I just don't watch that at all. But depending on the level of, almost want to say, violence as well. And some of this stuff nowadays is just so violent. But so what happened is our friends went to the other day, a couple of weeks ago, on the Friday morning, when you're having a conversation in the kitchen before school, and they said, oh, we're looking forward to go to their friends tonight. They went to Naria and Yaku that day, and we're going to stay over with them. I didn't know about that, so that was my first news. I said, oh, great. That means we've got alone time. It's just mommy and me today, or tonight. And my second girl, Isabella, said, I know what you're going to do. You're going to watch a skit flick. I said, yes. You know, but the fact of the matter is, she added up something. You realized, you know, you're going to do something special that just the two of you can do. Or daddy, maybe. More than mommy. And we need those times. As much as I love my children, we need those times alone when it's just me and her. When we can talk about things, can just enjoy each other's presence. But can I say that you need that time with God as well? The me time. But as much as you need the me time, you need the our time as well. The only problem is Aaron had it wrong. His timing was a bit wrong. I'll tell you why I say that. Aaron was supposed to be up on the mountain, receiving instructions, having an encounter with God that was supposed to equip him for what he was supposed to do when he's between the rest of them. And because he chose at that moment, he had the wrong timing, maybe it might be that Aaron's heart was more towards the people. That is, maybe, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but he was afraid to be at that place of being alone with God, or didn't enjoy God as much as Moses maybe would have. And he finds himself that he enjoys the company and the people around there. And it could be church this morning, it could be cell group, it could be when God says, no, I want to be with you alone. And Aaron finds himself at that place. And when Aaron found him at that place, he made a few stupid mistakes. Because when we get the timing wrong, if we're supposed to be here and we are not there, there's a risk that we're running that we make a couple of mistakes. Exodus 32, look at this. You have to see this. Wrong timing, wrong place, wrong people. And God, as the initiator of that, speaks to Aaron, calls him up, and Aaron misses the moment. Exodus 32, when the people, verse 1, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses, this fella, hey, I like the way the Bible writes, who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. And all the people, the story goes on, they made a gold calf of that. And they started worshiping that. And then Moses and Joshua was at the feet of the mountain. Another story, I can't go in there this morning, but Joshua, that wasn't supposed to be that, were not invited to the party. Joshua got as close as possible to the presence of God. Something beautiful about Joshua's heart. We see that later as well. When the Bible talks about Joshua, it's always accompanying the presence of God. That hunger. But anyway, they hear something and they come down and then they find that Aaron is there busy with the people. They're having a party. And Aaron, as a result of the wrong timing, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, made a popular decision rather than a pleasing decision, a God-pleasing decision. And here's the thing, sometimes if we are not at the right place at the right time, peer pressure can influence us. And we start making popular decisions. Because the people say to Aaron, Aaron, do this for us instead of where he was supposed to be. And I feel that's a challenge for all of us. Yesterday, I came back, you know, after being at a party, and I say party, but you know, you between people that, I have to say it carefully now, maybe we are not spiritually at the same place. Let's put it that way, softly. But I do realize that there's a tremendous responsibility upon my life to continue to shine forth light without sending out a message that I'm better than you, without saying that you are not good enough. There's this tension between I'm comfortable between you, I accept you, I love you, even though I know you, but I live according to certain higher calling upon my life. And maybe it's because I'm in the role that I'm doing, although I disagree and I think, you know what, I think every one of us has got that calling upon our life. The moment when you said yes to Christ, you've got a responsibility as a called one to live out that life. You know, my challenge is always to stay away from what I'm doing because I know the party's over the moment they ask me, what am I doing? So I try and not go there, but we went there and then people said, oh, from which church? And I said, Shofar. And I saw the guys, Shofar. And I've been through this many times. So I left there. I didn't want to go into the conversation. And then the guy said, are you a normal church? I said, yes, we are. We're normal people, hopefully. But the responsibility is upon all of us to change that atmosphere when we're in that area, not to make a pleasing decision, a popular decision versus a pleasing decision. But the irony about this whole thing, which I like in Scripture, and you read it this morning, is interesting. Aaron is confronted, listen, Aaron is confronted with a mess up. When Moses said to Aaron, Aaron, what have you done? You were supposed to be up there. What did you do? Look at verse, let me have a look here. I think it's verse 24, chapter 32, verse 24. Moses confronts Aaron, and Aaron answers him this way. So I told them, whoever has gold, jewelry, take it off. When they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire, and out came the calf. I don't know, I like that. When I saw that, I was reading, I said, God, I can so identify with that, you know. Nothing to do with me. I just throw it in there, and then the next moment, the calf comes out, you know. Oh, come on, Aaron, somebody must have made a mold. Somebody must have put some thought into this, and then put it in there, make sure it's the right heat enough, and then it melts and it comes out. Take responsibility for your mistake. It's actually what God says to us this morning. Sometimes we're not manning up to the mess-ups. And God's grace is freely available to those of us that say, God, I missed it. God, I messed up. God, it's actually me that said, yes, we'll make a mold, we'll put it in the oven and we'll take it out, and then I'll take responsibility for that. There's something beautiful upon that, in that place. If we can own, almost want to say our mistakes, we can get to that place and just be honest with God. I say, God, I don't know about this time. This time I messed up. Grace is freely available, but there's tension this morning between the solitude and fellowship. And I really believe that God wants to take us to that place where we become a voice again in the crowd, where we don't camouflage ourselves so much into that crowd that nobody knows where's the Christian in this crowd. Now, I'm not saying go out there and speak over people in such a way that they will feel, like I said, they are not good enough. But to live in such a way that people will know there's something different in your life, the way you approach this. The last one is the Israelite response in verse 18. Exodus 19, verse 18. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like from smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the rams would grow louder and louder, Moses spoke and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on the top of the mountain and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Is it Oprecht? 20. Sorry, I've got the wrong chapter. My apologies. It's actually chapter 20, Exodus 20, verse 18. This is after the Lord came down in the cloud. He says, the people responded. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen. But don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. You will die. Here's the thing. Pastor, can you speak to us? Ask somebody else to speak to us, but I'm not going to engage with God. They were not willing to steward that which God wants to give them. Sometimes it's more comfortable to ask somebody else to get the message, to engage, and then I'll just take that condensed version or that prepared version. And I get that we're called to do that. But God's got a word for all of us here this morning. In actual fact, I don't know what that word is this morning. My job is this morning just to set you up for that encounter. My job is just to set the table. Hopefully we can get into that place, that presence, where you can walk out of this place this morning knowing, God, you spoke to me. Whether it's through me, whether it's through whatever ways, whether it's through Spirit that's just speaking to you, come reaffirming, maybe giving you something fresh this morning. And God wanted to give that to the people of Israel, but they were not willing to initiate, they were not willing to engage. And if we want to be a strong church this morning, it's not in how much people attend here. And I am for reaching the lost. I am for filling every single seat this morning. It does bother me sometimes. But here's the thing. Our strength doesn't lie in the fact that whether we are a lot of people. Our strength lies in the fact that whether we can execute what we've heard. How many of us attend service after service, encounter after encounter, then wrestling and wrestling and wrestling, contemplating wrestling? I wonder what the church will be if we can, every time when we encounter God, every time when we hear something, every time when we get that revelation, we can dig into that, throw ourselves into that, and just say, God, I'm going to run with this. God, this is painful, but God, you are busy with me on the journey. The church can be so much stronger if we are just willing to execute. Three ways we can get back to that awe this morning, that wow in our responses. Let's quickly look at that, and I'm going to end here this morning. Because I believe it's necessary to come back to that place where we encounter God and that we encounter that wow in our encounters. That we experience that wow. Say, God, this is amazing. Look at the scripture. Exodus 19, verse 4 says this. Three things we should do this morning to come back to that wow, to break through or come back to that place. You have seen God speaking to his people. You have seen what I did to you, to the Egyptians. You know how I've carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. If we want to experience God in a fresh way, we must remember where we come from. God says to the people, don't forget where you came from. Do not forget that you were in Egypt. Do not forget what life was like there. And here's the thing, as we journey alongside life, sometimes we're on this journey, but we tend to forget where we come from, or where we came from. I think it's necessary that from time to time we stand still and look back and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you brought me that far. Oh, Lord, it was tough, but thank you, Lord. I didn't always wonder, how is it possible? How would we make it? But God, thank you. You're here with me. The other thing, not only do we have to remember, because familiarity breeds a forgetfulness in us, we also have to remember where we're going. Look at verse 6. He says this to them. Let me read actually from verse 5. He says, now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure. I mean, you can underline that. Because that word is not just for Israel, it's for us. You will be my own special treasure. Think about that for a moment. God says, you will be my own special treasure. Thank you, Jesus. I'm your own special treasure for somewhere to be used. From among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation, kingdom of priests. We forget track or we lose track of where we're going sometimes. Of where God is taking us, what we need to become, upon the calling that's upon our lives. And in 2-3 weeks, I'm going to share on that high cost of low living upon our lives. When God has placed something upon your life and we're not living at that level where God has called us. And God calls them back to that place. Don't just forget where you come from. Remember where you're going. Remember what you ought to be. Remember what I've placed upon you. There's a word placed upon you. Some of us, there's a prophetic word upon your life, and I sense God is saying that to some of us here this morning. You've placed the pause button in that area and say, God, not now, not this season. And God says, I want to continue. Sorry, what's your name? Monet, I just sense God is saying, you were in a family situation where there's a breakdown of relationships. And God is going to use you mightily. It's like a mirror that is scattered. But that mirror that God is going to place together is representing a lot of the pieces of the family that you need to pray for them individually. But that family or that mirror is going to affect 5 other families. But it's going to use you mightily when you enter into prayer with him. Father, I thank you for Monet. I thank you, Lord, that you place a calling upon him, Lord. Father, to be that one that stands in the gap, Lord. Lord, to bring that pieces together in prayer before you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that mends in prayer, Lord, that you bring healing, that you bring restoration, Father, that you fix that mirror, Father. And the mirror is, Lord, just to reflect the glory, just to reflect the sun, and just to see Christ, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, in days to come, in months to come, Father, that you're busy with the healing process. I thank you for your grace upon his life, Lord Jesus, to endure, Lord, to endure in prayer, to bring the family before you, Father, the greater family, Father, the deeper relationships, Lord, that you would do, Father, a miraculous way, Lord, a miracle, Lord, in their life, Lord. God, that they would continue to affect those families around their Lord, similarly, in Jesus' name. And not only were they supposed to remember reminded of where they're going, there's one more thing, and I'll end with that. This time you can believe me. Okay. Look at that scripture. Verse 8. And this is when Moses told them after he came up. He said, what Lord spoke to him. He said, and the people said, and all the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. This was before the Golden Calf, by the way. This was before a couple of other incidents. We will do everything, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I had moments like that. When I made promises to God. When I said, yes, Lord, I will go all the way. Maybe it was at that day when you just met him, when you made some serious promises to God. I said, God, I will do this for you, if you can just change this, or if you can just come through. Maybe it was somewhere in the middle of your journey when you promised God certain things, and somewhere along the life on this journey, something stopped you, whether it's pain, whether it's, I don't know what it might be. I sense God says it's time to continue with the story. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And Thursday morning, I was preparing and just spending time with the Lord. And And I was just taking myself back to that place of God. Is there anything that I've placed a pause button in my life where I didn't, well, I don't experience that anymore? Maybe God, you want to take me back to that place. And I was listening to this song, and I want you to listen to the song this morning, but the song speaks, later into the song, it speaks about a journey back to that beginning. And I'm trusting God this morning that He will take us back to that beginning. Maybe it was at that moment of salvation when the best thing that could ever happen to you is meeting Jesus, when you're experiencing the joy, that forgiveness, that thankfulness of God, you entered into my life, you lifted me out of that. Maybe that's what God wants to give back to you, because I believe that we need to carry and walk around and carry that fragrance through life, that thankfulness. And maybe you've lost that along the way, but I'm here to tell you this morning, Christ wants to give that back to you, your thankfulness, your joy, to restore that. Maybe you're here this morning, you sit here, and there's a prophetic word, there's a word that you were not, didn't see come into fulfillment, and God says it's time to continue. It hasn't stopped. But just for a moment, let's just close our eyes, and I just sense that God's going to give some of us a fresh word. I'm going to pray in a moment. I want to prepare your hearts, if that's you, that you respond to the altar call in a minute. But for those, maybe you experience the amount of presence of God as He's taking you back, and I want you just to stay at that moment where God is just refreshing that word, refreshing that moment that you had, that encounter. But if you're here this morning and you say, Yaku, I cannot identify, I do not have that word that's carrying me. I do not have what you are referring to. I want to trust God this morning that you would have such a word. Maybe He's going to give it to you right there in your seat. But if you feel, I need prayer, I need somebody to pray with me, then just trust God for that. But I want to invite you to quickly respond, slipping out of your seat and just come to the front and say, Yaku, I need that prayer. I need that word to carry me. It can carry you for a year. It can carry you for longer than that. But that's the God I serve, that gets involved in our lives in such an intricate way. While the people respond here, I just sense God says to some of us, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Because God gives us certain words, and then there's an execution around that that needs to take place. There's a wrestling that needs to take place with every prophetic word. There's an implication of what God says. It's not just a bless me experience. There's a God, I need to engage to see your kingdom come. And God is saying to some of us, many maybe here, can I trust you with that word? And I want you to wrestle with God this moment.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.